ACOFP Student Podcast, a production of the American College of Osteopathic Family Physicians.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the ACOFP DOFM Podcast. I'm Mercedes Hess, a third year at Kansas City University in Joplin, and a member of the National Student Executive Board of the Student Association of the ACOFP. In today's episode, we'll be discussing Things I Wish I Knew, Third Year and Beyond. I'm thrilled to introduce our guest, Dr. Bree Crewson, from the ACOFP Resident Council, who is a family medicine resident at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. She grew up in suburban Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and attended Franklin and Marshall College in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, for her Bachelor of Arts in Neuroscience. She then completed a Fulbright Fellowship in Poland, where she taught English for a year. After that, she returned to the U.S. to study for her master's in public health at Dartmouth College in Hanover, New Hampshire. She went on to study medicine at Philadelphia College of Osteopathic Medicine in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Bree is passionate about strengthening the health of her community and supporting long-term relationships with patients at both their healthiest and most vulnerable moments. She has interests in many areas of family medicine, including compassionate humanistic care, preventative and lifestyle medicine, and osteopathic manipulative treatment. She is pursuing a fellowship in academic family medicine after residency. Outside of residency, Bree enjoys spending time with her husband, David, hiking with her dog, Jake, gardening, traveling, and baking desserts.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
All right. So starting with things you wish you knew regarding third year rotations. So looking back, what do you wish you had known before starting your third year rotations?
Great question. I am, now that I'm a third year resident, it almost feels like that was so long ago. But I do remember a few things from transitioning from second year, which was very book heavy, textbook heavy, studying in classroom kind of learning, to hitting the wards for rotations. Something that I wish I knew before I started my third year rotations was how much preparation to put into going onto a rotation. And I wish I had practiced a little bit more of how to give a good presentation. Ultimately, third year rotations were so much fun. I remember being super nervous for them. And I wish that I could look back at that time and just tell myself to take a deep breath, because so much of what third year is about is just keeping your eyes open to all of the opportunities that rotations present, like really just starting to get your feet wet in a clinical setting and understanding what it is that you like about medicine and see yourself practicing and what you did not find as much joy in doing every day. So I wish that I could tell myself to just take a deep breath and that it was all going to work out. But I also wish I knew a little bit more of the logistics of, like, how do I actually prepare for a rotation, and what kind of things are worth reviewing or knowing before I get to starting to work with the team. Those are the big things I wish I knew. I'm happy to share more about that as we go.
Yes, we would all love to hear about that. For me personally, as a third year, I definitely need some advice on that. So going kind of into the next question, how did you prepare for your first day on a new rotation? And what advice would you give to students feeling nervous?
For your first day on a new rotation, the biggest thing for me in terms of easing some of my nerves was getting some of the logistics down, making sure I knew where to park my car, making sure I had a badge ready or knew where to go to get the badge, making sure I had the contact information of either the resident I was working with or the attending I was going to be under, so that if something went awry or if I couldn't find the team room or whatever it may be, I could reach out to someone. So that's sort of the logistics of getting your ducks in a row for the first day on a rotation. Sometimes the first day on a rotation can be a little bit of like, we need to find the security office for your badge, and we need to teach you how to get into this electronic medical record system, and a lot of logins and logistics. But ultimately, making sure you have under control what you can control can take some of the nerves away. The other thing I would say is oftentimes before rotations, you want to like study material and review certain topics so that you're ready when you get there. Really, what clinical rotations are about are learning the medicine as you go. So much of what you've done during first and second year is prepared for those rotations. And now your job is to continue to learn. Yes, part of it is trying to perform at your absolute best. And yes, part of it is continuing to maintain a professional way of learning. But really, like, what you're doing is trying to be a sponge, trying to absorb, and trying to have fun. Like, really, we're trying to promote more humanistic care within medicine and making sure that medical students and residents and attendings all feel comfortable in caring for their patients. So advice that I have there is you can study if you feel strongly about it, but don't feel like there's specific material that's going to help prepare you for your first day on the rotation. The biggest thing you can do as you go is as you learn topics, try to study about them when you go home at night. I know that's really hard after a long day, but that's where a lot of the learning happens, is seeing it and then going home and solidifying it in your brain or doing a practice question about it, or at least seeing it over and over again during the same rotation. So first day, really focus on the logistics. Know where to park your car, know what to wear, whether it's scrubs or business casual, and make sure you have the right shoes. But really, the outside of the logistics, I don't think you need to do anything crazy to prepare. The preparing will come as you get guidance from your inpatient team or your outpatient team about what it is they want you to read about and study about so that you can continue to learn.
Thank you. I think that that is some really good advice that I'll especially be applying into my future rotations to come. What are some common mistakes you see students make early on, and how can they avoid them?
Great question. A lot of times people will come, especially for sub-Is, will come from different medical schools or different backgrounds in terms of how they've learned material, whether that's the sequence of how they've learned it or how they've practiced it at other medical sites. So common mistakes I'll see early on, one is that people will not have very organized presentations. Whether you're outpatient or inpatient, your ability to communicate medical information efficiently and also accurately is really, really important. And it's a skill that we learn over time. But one of the things that people can do ahead of time is continue to practice how to talk about their patient in a really concise way that also gets across what their thought process is. So much of what we want to see in medical students as residents and as attending doctors is your thought process, right? How did you get to the diagnosis you got to? What kind of information did you gather and synthesize to get to the point where you're talking about the patient? So practicing SOAP presentations and sticking to that format and making sure you have a method for gathering information from the electronic medical record can be really helpful. If you feel like you don't know how to properly look through a patient chart, or you are nervous about using a new system, or you have not practiced a SOAP presentation in a while because maybe you've been doing more procedures or hands-on surgical skills, that's a time that you can turn to your senior resident on the team or the intern on the team and say, like, how do things work at this rotation? I'd love to learn some of the logistics so that I can do well. And there, I'm sure, would be happy to go through practicing a presentation with you. One of the other mistakes I see early on is that sometimes asking pointed questions can be really difficult for medical students. And the reason for that is, again, it takes practice and it takes learning to do that really well. Attendings make it look easy because they've been doing it for years. So, one of the ways that you can prepare for to prepare to avoid that mistake is by either asking your seniors and interns on the team about how they ask interview questions in a room and what the flow looks like in a room with a patient. And when you're thinking about different diagnoses, like asking more pointed questions about what's important within that diagnosis. And you're welcome to always review your interview questions with a resident before you go into a patient room if you're the one taking charge on that patient's admission or that patient's progress note for the day, whatever it may be. And then the final thing I would say is, like, really take ownership of what you want to learn. We love to see medical students, and I say we, meaning residents, love to see medical students who are really engaged in their patient care. People who are thinking outside the box about their patients, who are going above and beyond to see when their labs are returning, who are going to visit the patients in the afternoon, even if they're not being asked. We're just generally curious and excited to be there. Like, those are things that make a strong medical student, and beyond a strong medical student, a really strong doctor. Part of why we all enter medicine is because we like the creative process of being a diagnostician. So I think, to avoid seeming like you're just trying to coast or just trying to float along, try to take ownership of your patient, speak up when you feel like you can handle more, or and ask questions when you feel like you can't. Like, we love to help people and really make sure that they're guided appropriately so that they can continue to grow during the time of the rotation. Presentations, interview questions in the room, and then just learning to take initiative of your patient care can all be really good, like, advanced level skills that we'd love to see out of medical students.
Awesome. Thank you. I think that's really great advice. Even, going through rotations, it's things that we might not even realize that we're doing or not doing. And so I think bringing these points up as a resident is really helpful for us to try and make our rotations better for our third and fourth year. So, how did you balance learning patient care and self-confidence as a student in your rotations?
It's a great question. So much of what you transition into during your third and fourth year is that like hands-on at the hospital or at the clinic or in the OR, like being present with your patients. It's less of like, I'm on my own schedule and I have time to study whenever. It's a lot more of like, I need to quote unquote go to work, and starting to learn what it's like to be a resident. So I found that the patient care came easy to me. I loved being involved with my patients. I loved being curious about my patients. I felt like my patient load was appropriate for what I was able to handle as I continued to grow over time. But as I got more and more invested in my patient care, I will say the studying became a little bit harder, right? I would get home at nighttime and I'd be exhausted because I poured all of my energy into being in person with my patients and with my physician team that day. And on top of trying to be a learner and support my patients, you're also trying to perform in some capacity. Like you are trying to show your team that you are capable and that you're really excited to be a doctor and that you're open to learning and feedback and all these things that come along with being a student who has to be evaluated to ultimately match into residency. Maintaining that self-confidence and trying to not feel bad when I couldn't go home and study because I was exhausted and fell asleep on the couch trying to read about X, Y, and Z. I think, the balance comes over time. Please don't beat yourself up if you feel like you can't like study 100 questions every single day, because that's just not doable. I will say there are some students who will really take advantage of doing some of their studying while they're at the rotation. I, in terms of balance, definitely encourage you to take a lunch break. No matter what rotation, please take a lunch break and please step outside for a hot minute to understand that the sun is out. In general, I will see some people trying to do flashcards or read an article or prepare a presentation or do their multiple choice questions while they're at their rotation site. So anytime you have a little downtime, please try to just get in some studying. It'll make your life better when you get home. And then, of course, trying to do a little bit of studying at night, especially the studying that's guided by your inpatient team. Like if they're like, I really want you to read about potassium, or I really want you to read about some sort of medical condition, please try to focus some of your reading on that, because I'm sure when you go in the next day, they'll ask you about that. That's how I sort of balanced my learning with my patient care. At the end of the day, it's really important that you prioritize your patient's needs, and you're going to learn from interacting with them and taking care of them no matter what. Like part of being involved in their care and reading their chart and understanding the notes that the specialists put in will be so much learning in and of itself. In terms of the self-confidence piece, I think every medical student struggles with imposter syndrome. Even if you are the most confident person in the world, there is going to be some imposter syndrome with being in medicine because we have entered an environment that is highly competitive with people who are truly amazing at their jobs and very, very smart people. Some of the ways that I maintained self-confidence was to ask for feedback, like halfway through a rotation. Sometimes I would get feedback that would hurt a little bit, but other times I would get feedback that was like, you're doing a really good job, keep it up. So I think just checking in with your team, checking in with yourself, right? Like journaling about what it is that felt really good and what didn't feel good. I always think of feedback as a sweater. Like if you, and I've learned this as a resident more than anything, but like if you get feedback and you try it on as a sweater and you're like, you know what? This feedback is a little bit itchy and it's not fitting right, then you can take that feedback and you can set it in a box and put it away for the season. Like you don't have to take every piece of feedback as something like into your core. Especially if it speaks to your personality. Like that's not feedback that's helpful for you as a learner. That could be maybe the itchy sweater you put away for the season. Other feedback will be like, this sweater is super cozy. I feel awesome in it. I am super confident and I am grateful that I got that feedback. So try to think of feedback that comes from the medical providers you're working with as like, maybe it fits, maybe it doesn't. Take with you what you will, and try to ultimately remember that in the big picture, we're just trying to make everyone strong doctors.
I really like the sweater analogy.
I learned that as a resident. Isn't it great?
Yeah, it's awesome because I agree. I mean, not every piece of feedback, like you said, is always going to be positive. Or, like you said, everyone is just trying to really help you grow as a physician. And so, even though it might sting or it might be itchy, it's still something that we need to take in consideration to hopefully like help our patients in the long run.
Totally.
Were there specific strategies that helped you make a strong impression on your preceptors or the residents you worked with on rotations?
That's a good question. Strategies? I don't know that I have specific strategies. I will say I went into family medicine because I loved all of my rotations. I showed up every day kind of excited to learn and ready to learn. And even if I didn't know what was going on or what people were talking about, I was very ready to re read about it or ask questions about it. And just that engagement really helped, I think, give a strong impression to my preceptors and the residents that I was working with when I was a medical student. I remember a lot of the feedback or the comments that I had on my MSPE, which is the like document that is submitted to ERAS for the residency match. A lot of the comments were like very engaged, very excited to learn. So I think, showing your team that you're there and you're going to participate and you're going to be a member of the team, like, do not leave me out. I am here and I'm ready to go. That can make a strong impression on people. The other thing that makes a strong impression is going a little bit above and beyond the norm. We may ask you medical students on our team, for example, when I'm inpatient, I may ask a medical student to handle one patient the first day, two patients the second day if they're ready. Medical students who are like, I feel really good and I want to carry another patient, or I read about X, Y, and Z and I'd like to teach the team about it today. Just like things that can help everyone's growth and their patients' care. Those are the things that really, really stand out. So be curious, be involved. Remember that the more you learn as a medical student, no matter what rotation it is, will make you a better doctor, no matter what field you go into. Having that interest and just remembering that these are people, like really, your patients are people with lives. And the more you can learn about that and bring humanism into your care, the more your team will be impressed about your abilities.
Awesome. Thank you for that. So now we're kind of going to move on to your transition from medical school to residency. So this will be really helpful for you fourth years that are out there, even though you're going through your interviews right now and you're probably a little anxious about match. These might help ease some of those anxieties as you prepare for your next journey into residency. So what was the biggest adjustment for you when starting residency?
Biggest adjustment went from going from medical student to residency was probably the ownership of my patients. Instead of it being like, I'm a medical student and I know I have a resident right over my shoulder whenever I need something and there's someone always watching, it was a lot more of like, you are the doctor. You need to be making the final decisions and you need to be learning how to be independent in your care. Of course, interns and senior residents alike are always supported by an attending, so I felt very supported. But the one thing that felt a little bit new and a little bit foreign at the beginning of my residency was this idea of like, oh, I need to put in the orders and I need to make the final decision about their care today. And you'll learn a lot as you go through residency about this like art of medicine, this idea that like there isn't one right way to do things. Sometimes there is. But usually, whatever plan you present, as long as it makes good clinical sense and your thought process is clear, and you can back it up, then like, your attending and your senior resident are going to be okay with it, which is scary, right? Like you're the one making the decision for that patient. So I think learning to have ownership of your patients was one of the biggest adjustments when I started my residency. The other big adjustment, I will say, and this one may seem a little bit more obvious, but just the amount of time that you spend at the hospital. As sub-eyes, sub-internships, some medical students will experience what it's like to work resident hours, but for the most part, I would say as a medical student, you're sent home a little bit earlier than the seniors' residents will be staying at the hospital. So it's nice because you can go home as a medical student, you can study a bit, you can have a little bit of an evening to yourself, maybe. Maybe you don't work as many weekends. As a resident, you work a lot of weekends, you work night shifts, you work very long hours, 12 plus shifts, 12 plus hour shifts. There is no one besides you to be sent home, if that makes sense. Like, there is no one to dismiss you and say, oh, yeah, you can go home. You're done for the day. Thanks for finishing all your patient care a little early. You just stay. You just stay and stay and stay and continue to answer pages and calls. And it's not a bad thing. It's just a different thing. So, that was one of the other big adjustments was like, oh, I stay longer, if that makes sense. I work longer hours than I ever did as a med student.
Yeah, I will say that that is nice sometimes getting sent home a little bit early. But for the most part, yeah, I'm sure that the long hours is definitely an adjustment. How did your expectations of residency differ from reality?
I think a lot of people feel kind of scared of residency. Like it's this big deal that is looming, and you're really excited because you're starting the next phase of learning how to be a great doctor, but ultimately there's like some of this fear associated with it, especially because I think, kind of what I was saying at the beginning of this is like you feel like you're alone in making some of these decisions and you're worried that you're going to make the wrong decision. One of the biggest reality checks that I had was I felt so supported. I just like my co-residents are amazing people, my senior residents, amazing people, and my attendings just like ready to chat with me whenever I need support. My program was, more than aware of people coming from all different backgrounds with all different levels of skills. And so any support that we needed, they were open to helping with. I think that's one of the things that I felt was wonderful, but that I did not fully expect when I started residency. I was very worried about carrying a lot of just like responsibility that I hadn't had before. And ultimately, I did carry a lot of responsibility, but I felt beyond supported in my abilities to do it. So I think that was the expectation of being fearful of it all that changed was, I learned not to be so scared of all of the responsibility and instead that I'm learning to be a doctor. And if I need some help, I can always ask for help.
And I think that ties into kind of the question before with like the whole adjustment phase, where it's just this huge adjustment. But then as you kind of are like getting it figured out, not that it becomes easier, but it just flows a little more and it just seems like everything's coming together. I think that that support system is like a super huge thing. I think in med school, it's super huge. It's just so nice to have a good support system. And so if you have that in residency, I could imagine that it would make things a lot better.
It's the best. And, because we're so new, like as interns, everyone's expecting us to ask questions. Like, please ask questions. It will make your life so much easier if you just learn the logistics the first week you're there, and then from there can learn the medicine.
That makes sense. Yes. What skills or habits from medical school helped you the most in your first few months as a resident?
Honestly, one of the things that I had to learn in medical school that I tried to maintain during residency was just like how to take care of myself, as there was so much volume. I mean, people always describe medical school learning as like drinking from a fire hose, right? So keeping up with the volume of learning that you have as a med student and also trying to take care of me, like how do I not feel totally overwhelmed in it all, is a skill that I try to keep up as a resident. So as a med student, I tried to create routines around like when am I going to get my groceries and make sure I have food in my house? How do I prioritize my sleep, even though I feel like I could stay up all night and study? How do I find time to move my body a few times a week or get outside a few times a week? How do I connect with my friends and make sure that I see people in my life or call my family? Like all of those sort of wellness buckets that I knew I needed to keep up with as a med student, and learning how to find routine as a med student in that is something that I carried forward as a resident. So, even though I work a ton of hours because that's what residents do, we still find ways to connect with each other and connect with your co-residents and or spend time with your family and close friends. I still find time to make sure I'm getting in some exercise and trying to eat healthy foods and getting decent sleep when I can get decent sleep, because those habits have all made me feel a lot better in my abilities as a physician if I can just keep up with my basics of wellness.
Yeah, that self-care is super important. There's definitely times where I'm like, I just need to sit down and watch TV or just like zone out instead of studying after like a super long day. So I think that self-care is very super important.
Totally. It's the mental break. We all need it.
Yes, very much so. So the next question kind of is a little bit of the same, but and you might have talked about some points before this. So, how do you manage the workload and emotional challenges that come with residency?
Yeah, this is a great question. And this is actually one of the things I didn't see coming. As we care for more and more patients as residents, oftentimes some of those patient cases can be really heavy. And as doctors, it's really hard to say, I'm just gonna pack up my backpack for the day and call it a day and leave and not bring any of that home with you. So one of the things I learned is how to best handle my emotional challenges, especially ones that come from work within my day-to-day life. I highly recommend for anyone who struggles with some of their patient cases, and probably all of us will at some point because some of these things are really heavy, finding methods that help you either clear some of that or offload some of that or at least process some of that. These are cases that will stay with us for our entire lives, but are important to process. So whether that's through therapy or journaling or talking to a friend or, like we said before, taking an emotional break, knowing that the things that we're caring for, and by things, I mean people and their conditions, are not conditions that everyone witnesses outside of a medical setting, and trying to make sure we address that is important to help you stay afloat and be able to go to work the next day and not feel like the world is crashing down. I encourage anyone who is not feeling well about their job or not feeling great about their patient care or just like hearing a lot from what they're seeing to talk to their senior residents, talk to their program director, talk to the people on their teams, because the more we talk about these things, the more we can normalize that we are carrying emotions, a lot of emotions as residents, and often sleep deprived and running from place to place and just trying to do really well. Like we're still performing in some capacity. With all the workload that we carry, the summary here is please make sure that you seek out help if you are carrying an emotional weight that is too much for you to carry. It happens to all of us. It's a totally normal thing to experience, and it's important that we continue to talk about those things.
All right. Well, that is very good advice. Thank you. Looking for some more advice, what advice would you give to incoming interns to help them like transition smoothly?
I was really lucky at my program. We have a 1.5 to 2 week long orientation. So that transition process felt a little smooth in term a little smoother than maybe others experience in terms of we were introduced to our hospitals and toured our clinics and learned where to get coffee and where the scrub machine was. Like we learned some of those logistics as we transitioned. Honestly, the thing I recommend in terms of having a smooth transition is to just show up excited, just show up ready to learn, ask a lot of questions. And if you have the ability, please try to move to wherever you're going to live for residency, maybe more than the day before you would start, so that you can set up your house and learn where the grocery store is and learn where the gas station is. Some of the big parts of transitioning into residency are actually not the medical parts. It's more just like, how can I live my life and have a sustainable lifestyle outside of residency? I now live in Madison, Wisconsin, and I am not from this area, but I moved out here a week or two maybe before residency started, just to learn like, where do I buy my groceries and what kind of bookstores are in the area and what does the farmers market look like? And all of those experiences and learning to love the area where I now live as a resident was huge in terms of my transition. I felt so much more comfortable in my house. I could set it up and my space, and the city, because it wasn't a space I knew before residency. It made my transition that much smoother.
Plus, that just gives you some time to like explore a new area, which is like so fun.
Totally. Bring your friends, bring your family, go eat some fun places.
And then when you go to residency, I'm sure you can share all the places that you've been in the town, and you guys can all go hang out there. And yeah,
Exactly.
thank you for kind of giving us a little insight on the transition from medical school to residency. Our final questions we have for you are thinking more about like your personal growth and development. So we'll be talking a lot more about like self-care, preventing burnout, kind of just like support systems and how to really like make medical school or residency just the best that it can be. So our first question is, how do you maintain balance and prevent burnout amid the demands of residency?
Some of this we covered in terms of my routines,
Yes.
but I will give a plug to how wonderful it is to have co-residents. No matter what program you go to, you likely will have at least one other person in your class year. So the beautiful thing about that is it's someone who is going through the same thing as you, who understands, how hard it is to work in the ICU or what attending maybe was more challenging to work with than a different one. And getting close to that person and knowing that person is there as a support system is amazing to help prevent burnout. Like the people who are my classmates and my co-residents are people who will be my friends for a lifetime. They have seen me on my best days and they have seen me on my worst days and they have coached me through really hard things. So Those people are there and they exist to help prevent burnout, and they are just amazing human beings. In terms of balance in my life, I'm big on getting outside. I try to get outside for a walk once a day, every day. I'm learning to be better about taking a break from my computer to eat my lunch and have my meal time separate from sitting in front of a computer. And now that I'm a third year resident, this was much harder in my first and second year because I worked more hours then. But now that I'm a third year resident, I'm trying to reincorporate some of my hobbies into my life, things like reading, exploring different coffee shops, I'm starting to like run again. I used to be a runner. So there's just like different things I'm trying to incorporate into my life to feel a little bit more human again. As we transition from residency into attending life, we get a lot more hours back in our life, depending on the job and depending on the place, but you should get more hours back in your life. And it's nice to be able to maintain some of those hobbies. So if you like to play an instrument, if you like to do triathlons, if you like to paint your nails on a Saturday night, whatever it may be, host cookie parties, like do all the things that make you feel human. And try not to give up on those things, even when you feel like my patient messages are overloaded and my notes are exploding and I have so many things I can be doing for work. Try to take a step back and remember that doing something for you, doing something human, outside of your work, disconnecting from that work will be really important in terms of long-term prevention of burnout.
That's awesome. Yeah, I think that those are great strategies that a lot of people, even medical students, we can all try and apply better to our lives. So you kind of touched on the next question about support systems in your co-residents, but are there any other resources or support systems that have like really been impactful or the most valuable to you throughout medical school and residency?
One of the biggest support systems I've had in each phase of learning, as a medical student and as a resident, and even before medical school, would be my mentors. I had a mentor in college who helped me learn about medical school and what the process to becoming a provider would look like. I had a mentor in medical school who helped me learn that I loved family medicine. And then now, as a resident, I have a mentor who's teaching me all about my options, right? Once you complete residency, it's kind of like the doors are open in terms of how you want to direct your practice. So I have a mentor who's helping me learn what I want to do with my career. And having a person that I could go to each phase of the way has been totally invaluable. Like, those mentors are there to help guide and listen and just be a sounding board for you to express what it is that you think you're interested in and guide you on your path.
I feel like that, I think that that's really nice just because you have someone who has like been through all of this just to like talk to, because like the path is difficult. And sometimes it is nicer to just talk to someone who's on the other side of that and who can like really understand your story and give you that advice. How has your perspective on patient care or family medicine evolved since medical school?
I think it's become a little less rigid. Kind of that perspective of it all works out in the end. And our medical system has developed this catch of making sure everything gets done. I went into medical school, like such a perfectionist. Everything had to be done a certain way. And I've loosened a little bit in a good way. It all works out. That is my big lesson with learning to be a doctor, is somehow it all works out. Whether your attending comes and says, like, stop what you're doing, we need to completely overhaul the plan, and you do that, or your team is like, let's do this today and give it a try. And if it doesn't work out, we'll try something different tomorrow. Like, it's all a learning process, and it really finds a way to work itself out. The human body is amazing and resilient, and I have so much respect for it. So just remember, it's all going to work out. Take a deep breath.
Awesome. Super, super great advice, because that's something that I need to learn. Just go with the flow. It's all going to work out. It'll be okay. And I'm sure that a lot of listeners feel the same way. So I really love that advice. Going into our last couple of questions, if you could go back and give your med student self one piece of advice, what would it be?
I'm trying to remember myself in med school versus now and how I've grown. Probably the piece of advice I would give myself is to, oh, how do I say this? I guess like not focus so much on the grades on paper is kind of my advice. Yes, it's really important we pass all of our courses. Yes, it's really important you pass your boards and we'll continue to get exams through residency and life as an attending. So it's important that we can do those things. But I really wish that I gave myself some credit for how much doctors are strong communicators. Like really what part of what matters, a lot of what matters is your ability to go into a patient room and show empathy, show compassion, and just try and be yourself with your patient. Like we all are in medical systems and in studying medicine because we care about people, and because we're interested in how science overlaps with what we care about. I mean, I wish I could tell myself, like, take a deep breath. It's okay if you get some questions wrong. It's okay if, your score on paper is not perfection. Like, it all works out. Give yourself a little credit, Brianna, because you are having great conversations with your patients. So that's the thing I wish I could tell myself.
Awesome. Go with the flow and know that you're capable.
Totally.
I love it. I love that. So our final question is any closing words of encouragement you have for fourth years, kind of going to be transitioning into residency within the next year?
Be excited, continue to be excited every single day. Try and wake up excited, even when you are exhausted. Remember that we have such cool jobs, like such a cool profession to be in. And also, I think taking a little time off for anyone who is not planning to take time off before starting residency, please take at least a week, if not more, months if you can, before you start residency to live life. Go travel, go spend time with family and friends, go bake desserts and try different things in your life because residency will take some of that time away. Time is the ultimate gift in this life, like spending time with your people, spending time doing the things that you love. Yes, we all love medicine. We're gonna love our jobs. Like we, again, are in a really cool field, but I encourage you to just take a little time to feel your most self, to be you before the medical system gets involved in your day-to-day life.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Dr. Krusen. We appreciate your time and insights, and we're super excited to share this episode. To our audience, thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed today's episode, and see you next time.
The ACOFP Student Podcast is a production of the American College of Osteopathic Family Physicians. To learn more about ACOFP, please visit www.acofp.org.